Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age?
Welcome on back to another edition of the Baltimore Beatdown Podcast. It is Thirsty Thursday, December 8th. My name is Jake Luke, and I am joined on my screen by Spencer Nathaniel Schultz. How's it going, bud?
I'm well, making myself some cookies. Realized I didn't have any white sugar. I had plenty of brown sugar. Needed to go to a neighbor's house, grab that. So just been getting my little Betty Crocker on over here.
You realized you didn't have any? So was there some kind of hankering going on here?
What do you mean? Hankering for cookies?
Yeah. Were you just like, oh, fuck, I don't have any cookies. I got to go.
Wanted banana bread. Fran brings home, you know, non-ripe bananas and just no bueno there. So I was like, all right, I'll make some cookies. Got a 2-pound bag of some chocolate morsels. And I got a sweet tooth, especially in the winter, man. I got 2 gallons of organic whole milk here that are just for dessert, just for cookie time.
Sounds like you're ready to strap on the pads and go play go play for Coach Harbaugh up with the team in the North.
I most certainly am. Always on milk duty.
Yeah. Well, that's great. That's very interesting, and it keeps your bones strong. So I like milk as well. I don't really like drink it a ton anymore, but milk drinking adults. It's always a good thing, I think. How's everything else going?
It's going well. We are in the midst of an epic portioned mental breakdown, I feel like, as a collective of Ravens fans, and Steelers week coming up. No Ben Roethlisberger, no Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson, for the fifth straight year, won't face the Pittsburgh Steelers twice. We're not even sure if we'll face them once at this point. So who knows? That's still up in the air. But it's Steelers week, so Ravens need a win here, and looking forward to the next chapter of that rivalry and whatever this weird new age is without Ben Roethlisberger. It's the first time there will most certainly be no Ben Roethlisberger ever again. So Big Ben is dead for all intents and purposes, and this is the next chapter.
Yeah, I really got my jokes in, and I had my fun last year because I did know that once they lost Ben, they were going to be losing a big piece of their identity, and the drama and like the fucking the soap opera, the spaghetti Western that was the Ben Roethlisberger era. It was a lot of fun, and it's over now. And yeah, this is pretty tame, pretty mild Steelers week as far as things go. People are tweeting the highlights out. I've certainly done my fair share of that, but feels like this rivalry does not have the juice it had even like 5 years ago. Kind of feels like the Bengals have maybe shifted up in terms of this division, and they're kind of the top dogs right now. And I'd say the Ravens are still kind of in that mix, but hey, they haven't been in the playoffs since 2020 here, and things are kind of teetering right now with Jackson out of the lineup. So weird spot for sure for this rivalry.
It is, and it's going to feel a lot like so many of these games have in the Lamar Jackson era, ultimately. We're going to get into it in more detail, but the one-sentence overview is that probably whoever has less turnovers and less penalties wins this game. It's probably going to be very low scoring. Don't think we're going to be seeing 30-27 in this one. And whichever team can, if a team can score 2 touchdowns, I will almost stamp a guarantee that that team wins the football game. So it's going to be a slop fest for all intents and purposes, but that's how it's been and continues to be. Even when it was the glamorous years, that's when it was beautiful, when it was those 13-9 games or that Charlie Batch game, the last non-Ben Roethlisberger quarterback to beat the Ravens.
Shout out to Charlie having a little fun with that today on Twitter, too. I saw him something funny to the effect of like, oh, I wonder who that quarterback was. Good for him. That was maybe one of the more miserable games. I think it might have been, he might have beaten them more than once, actually. But, yeah, at least the one time that they lost to him, I do remember that being a brutal, brutal time.
It was. We've seen Duck Hodges. We've seen some other strange groups. This Pittsburgh Steelers team, very quietly, for all the shit that they've eaten in the media, It's 1-3 of their last four. Over the last four games, they're 12th in DVOA. They are two back from the Ravens, who are sitting at 10th. Their rush offense is second, trailing only the Philadelphia Eagles. And Najee Harris had a plate in his foot taken out. A lot of Trent Richardson, Najee Harris poo-poo for the Steelers drafting him in the first round. One of my, or arguably my favorite running back in any class since we've been doing this. I think he's a great all-around back, and he kind of reminds me in running style of like a Willis McGahee in many ways. Loves to use that stiff arm. He had some pretty explosive stiff arms last year in that final matchup in week 18. I think he might have stiff armed Patrick Queen pretty badly at one point too, and was able to skate out of there. So they're running the heck out of the football. And I guess to kind of get into talking about the Steelers team, the offensive side of the football, still Matt Canada. They like to spread it out. It's funny, and I know our good friend Garnett posted like a dual clip thing of like Mike Tomlin saying, oh, you know, I'd rather have to tell him, you know, whoa, boy, don't sick him, than try to get him to sick him. And then John Harbaugh saying something like, we don't really, if you want stats, this isn't the place for you, and something along those lines. And I just think it's funny because those two coaches are what, seven? I think Tomlin's won 17, Harbaugh's won 15 of them. It's been a deadlock for much of it. You know, the Steelers, I think, have won four straight. And so before that, it was what, you know, 13 to 15. So they're living in that same range. And Matt Canada is upside down Greg Roman. He likes to spread things out. He likes to go 11 personnel a lot. He likes to operate in the same areas of the football field they did with Ben Roethlisberger. And as I'm watching Kenny Pickett here, he really reminds me of like a less talented, smarter Mitch Trubisky. He reminds me of someone that doesn't have as much arm talent, is not quite as mobile, but still has like that. It's like beyond the classic deceptive speed that you label the white quarterback with. He's quick. He can go scoot. They run a little bit of read option, and they'll come downhill a little bit. I think this offensive line has done a better job here over the last month. So it feels a lot like you're just watching like a calmer Mitch Trubisky. While they don't really attack deep a ton, they will try to hit those flare nine route fades down the sideline a little bit. George Pickens taking over that Chase Claypool role a little bit. So watching this team over the last, I watched like four games, two of which all 22, two of which I just kind of popped on the broadcast highlights. But Kenny Pickett, I like him, man. I like his ability to just kind of compete continuously, make good decisions. He gets the ball out in rhythm. I think he had a propensity to put the ball in harm's way a lot more, and especially kind of before the last month and before their bye week. And I think he's settled in. And Matt Canada's offense is very, like, I want to say, like, not Big 12, but it's like a Maction offense almost. You know, they run a couple plays. They all look very similar, and they like to use the middle of the field a lot. Pickett, in the same sense that the Ravens are, not really dialing up a ton of deep shots, but not really just throwing the ball at or around or behind the line of scrimmage. So likes to hit that intermediate portion of the field underneath and spread the ball out a little bit. And I don't know, it's an offense that allows them to compete week in and week out, I would say.
He reminds me, Pickett, of like a rookie Derek Carr, to make the kind of the comparison thing. That was kind of like when I was, you know, hashtag evaluating him, that was sort of like my ceiling for him was, you know, this guy could be like a Derek Carr, which is interesting. And, you know, it's one of those things where I've kind of made the point that if you don't have an alien at quarterback, you're setting yourself up to not have a very high ceiling. But even, you know, sometimes you get the alien like the Chargers and you're just an organization that is completely, completely just unable to stop stepping on the rake. So the Steelers are not that type of organization. So I think they could definitely build around a guy like this. And what little I have watched of the Steelers, it's not been a ton. I do see some of the flashes that you're talking about, and I do think that, you know, maybe they're gearing up to have Tomlin rebuild this thing a la Harbaugh rebuilt this thing around Lamar Jackson here in Baltimore. So I definitely could see that happen. I don't know if Matt Canada is going to be in that picture. He's taken a lot of shit over the last couple of years. Not as much this year, I don't think. Mainly because like they've been so handcuffed with what's going on at the quarterback position, and I feel like their offensive line really isn't what it used to be either. But yeah, I don't know. You get Pickens in there. He's frisky. Ravens fans know all about him. And yeah, it's been interesting seeing what they've been doing with him. Like I said, I haven't watched a ton, but I was breaking down the numbers a little bit. Looks like last week they ran him out of the slot a lot, which they really hadn't been doing. So they're kind of starting to experiment with him a little bit more. He didn't have one of his best games, I don't think, against the Falcons. But yeah, man, he's just I don't know. He's a guy that I think could succeed from any position on the field. And I think he's going to be really this main test for this Ravens defense, which another stat that I tweeted out that they're very high in DVOA against the quote unquote number one wide receiver. And then, you know, slot or other, it's like down towards the middle of the pack, tight end and running back out of the passing game as well, which we've seen them have their issues. Like Jamichael Hasty got that Jaguars game going in their last loss just by catching passes out of the backfield. So you're curious if they're going to try to maybe do that a little bit with Najee Harris in this game and see what you get from Freiermuth as well. It's a weird offense for sure, but I don't know, man. We saw the Jaguars find it against this Ravens defense. They've been stout other than that. So I really don't know much of what to expect here.
Yeah, the offensive line's finding a rhythm a little bit. Dan Moore, a tackle there. They have been able to protect him decently well. I think that they're a much better unit in terms of being finesse and quick and able to mirror well and getting good depth in their sets. Dotson, Dan Moore, James Daniels, who they bring in from the Chicago Bears, hasn't been what they imagined this year, and then a core four. So their unit is fine in pass pro, and again, they like to spread things out. They like to get the ball out quickly. Not a unit that's really mowing guys down in the run game, but Najee Harris will go, you know, press a crease. It feels like a lot of their runs that are successful, they kind of press about the B gap or C gap and then deviate to the outside track. And the Steelers offensive line and key blockers are trying to kind of create a 45 degree angle so that you can kind of deviate outside a little bit and go make a little haste. So I think a major key for this Ravens defense is essentially flooding the ever living shit out of the middle of the field, being deceptive over the middle of the field, dropping as many guys as they can on and off the line of scrimmage, and just trying to get Pickett to continue working through. If you allow him to sit back and know what he's seeing, I think he's a smart passer. I think he can kind of understand spacing and windows and will be able to go, you know, get the ball to Pat Freiermuth, who really is a moose, man. Someone that I like coming out of the draft a lot. And after the catch, he will go hurt you. He will go run through two arm tackles, kind of like what we saw to Mark Andrews last year late. Like, he is not going down willingly. First tackle, second tackle, smaller guys, you got to go clip that dude's ankles out. You got to wrap him up and really go for a ride, or else he'll go hurt you. So I think that creating a lot of deception early is key. And the Steelers tend to have some little tricks in their back pocket for the Ravens. They save them all year. They love playing the Ravens and have been dominating this rivalry. So if you let them get into a rhythm, I think you find yourself into that classic game script where we've seen it with Lamar Jackson, we've seen it with Tyler Huntley even last year, where you feel like you're playing catch up. You feel like you're, you know, trying to catch that elusive cat that has a possession on you or something like that. And that's where the Steelers always feel so confident in this rivalry. Whenever they're able to get that lead, it feels like they're able to just continue whittling away at you confidently. And the Ravens have been able to snake out a couple times lately. Like when Lamar Jackson has a bad game, they end up getting the Marlon Humphrey punch out and Justin Tucker field goal. It's like you have to go make a miraculous play in order to get away from that feeling of them controlling this football game. So Roquan Smith going to need to be huge. Kyle Hamilton, I think, going to need to be huge in this one. Marlon Humphrey is going to do what he's done, and I expect the Steelers to probably try to line up. And this is the popcorn matchup that people have talked about since George Pickens went to Pittsburgh. It feels like a young Marcus Peters on the offensive side of the ball and George Pickens. And I would imagine they're going to try and line him up against Marcus Peters. And Peters hasn't been necessarily, like I said, it feels like he's playing good football, but not good cornerback. Like, he's physical. He's a willing tackler. He's been able to make a couple plays. He's jumping on footballs, you know, breaking up a pass here or there. But when you isolate him and ask him to go play technique in man coverage, up against the sideline, he's been losing. So I expect to see a couple of those lollipop over top throws. Kenny Pickett doesn't have much arm strength, but he's got more than Ben Roethlisberger had. And it's those same kind of throws. They're trying to drop one in over top of you and let Pickens go track and use his outstanding hands and all the things that made him a scintillating prospect. So this offense, I would say, scores somewhere between 13 and 20 points in this game. And if it's 13, I think the Ravens are able to win. If it's 20, I think they lose.
Yeah, Deontay Johnson and Najee actually didn't practice, I think, pretty much all week, and I believe including today. Looks like Deontay Johnson pulling it up now with a hip, and Najee Harris with an oblique. Or Najee Harris was limited today, so I guess he's gearing up to go. And I guess we'll see what happens with Johnson there. But yeah, there is a... I don't care who's playing quarterback. All I know is they've got Tomlin, and when they do get that lead that you're talking about, and it's getting late in the game, there's nothing more anxiety-inducing as a Ravens fan than that wide shot of what's famously referred to as Acrisure Stadium, the artist formerly known as Heinz, and those stupid fucking towels going, and Renegade or whatever it is playing in the background. It's a great atmosphere. It's a great rivalry. It takes two to tango, as Mike Tomlin said. And they are a great dance partner. So, it's going to be a lot of fun in that respect. You kind of made the point. Like, it's really feels like a race to 20 points here, and whoever gets there is going to get this W. So we'll see what their offense is able to do against the Ravens defense that I've been making the point on Twitter. Like, this could be a legacy stretch for this Ravens defense. This could be kind of the stretch where, you know, it's been up and down for them. They've shut down offenses. They've had really good games. Mike McDonald has elevated his profile, but they've also had the rough stretches. They had the game against the Dolphins that sort of set a really bad tone for the season. Then they turn it around. Then they blow a couple leads to the Bills and Giants, and things are hanging in the balance again. Then they turn it around. Then you have the Jaguars game, and, you know, it feels like things are in limbo, but then they go out there and they hold the Broncos to 9, and that was a race to 10 points. And it's just, it feels like it's been a Jekyll and Hyde season, and they've got to decide, you know, if they want to be, I guess you would say, Jekyll here, because Jekyll had that dog in him. Do they have that dog in them? And I think if you want to go ahead and prove that, I think putting a team with its backup quarterback on your back for at least a two-game stretch here probably on the road and maybe accounting for a win or two is going to be a very big part of that. And you mentioned some of the guys that are going to have to come back healthy, Kyle Hamilton being one of them, or at least continuing to emerge into the lineup. When are we going to see Marcus Williams? Who knows? David Ojabo, when are we going to see him? But at least the guys that are going to be out there, I really hope that they're looking across the field, they're seeing a young offense, and they're feeling that sort of, they're feeling the responsibility that is falling to their shoulders right now, fair or not, to stick up for this offense, stick up for Tyler Huntley, and get the job done on their end of things. And they feel a sense of pride, and it helps propel them to a big collective performance here.
Hopefully, and you're hoping Marcus Williams is able to make his reemergence this week as well. And I don't know, man, if you let Najee Harris get rolling at all on this side of the football, I feel like the Steelers are able to win this football game. If he's able to make 5-6 plays where he moves the chains on a key down or is able to, you know, take one into the end zone from the 11-yard line, I think that making a young rookie quarterback one-dimensional, and as I mentioned, messing with reads, don't just let him sit back and get into three-step drops and get the ball out and pick on you over the middle of the field and move the chains 3-4 times. If he starts doing that 2-3 drives in a row, he's going to develop that confidence. He's going to get into a rhythm, and then the run game is going to get working. So early on, you know, in key passing downs, I want to see Wink Martindale's defense. And Mike McDonald does bring that in his pocket. He will come after you with 5-6 guys. He will simulate pressure. He will go group a bunch of guys up on the line of scrimmage. And I think dropping out of that a bunch is going to make Pickett have to work. And if they're able to get a little pressure, rattle him early, I think the Ravens can roll in this one on the defensive side of the football. So I would really say that the key here, you know, Deontay Johnson is like the most drunken gambler at the casino. He will put it all on black. He'll try to go make a scintillating play. He'll try to work his way across the field after the catch. He'll jump backwards 7 yards. He'll have poor ball security. He also can go absolutely torch you over top. He can go be a game breaker at times. So with his hip injury, if he's out, I think that's a huge loss for the Steelers. And they're relying on guys like Gunnar Olszewski and Steven Sims, I think. So big loss for them in that sense, and really is going to eliminate that kind of quicker presence over the middle of the field that can go pick up those first downs. Pickett, when they use him, it feels like they like to use him running 9 routes, running that vertical tree, doing the hitches, doing the 9 routes, doing a little bit of slants. And then they'll kind of use him in, when they use him inside, it's a little bit more smash concepts. They like to run him on like 10 to 15 yard outbreaking routes towards the sideline a little bit. They don't utilize the deep middle of the field at all. So invite them to, and then take it away. So I think a nice game of cat and mouse. And we know that, you know, Wink Martindale has beat up on some rookie quarterbacks. I like to see Mike McDonald go beat up on a rookie quarterback. It looks like they're going to be getting another one in a couple weeks in Desmond Ridder. And between that, they're going to get Deshaun Watson, who, not that he's a rookie quarterback, but looked like crap. His mechanics looked awful. He said how bad his mechanics looked. His right shoulder, he is like completely curling, almost like a pitcher as he's throwing. So didn't look great for him at all. And I think that it's a nice opportunity for McDonald, and you mentioned this legacy moment. They need to really mess with these passers, generate turnovers. They can't afford to drop interceptions. They need to create plays. They need to create negative game scripts through applying pressure, hitting Kenny Pickett, getting him down a couple times. And I mentioned Mitch Trubisky, and I'll go for another AFC North, you know, similar quarterback, first-round guy, Baker Mayfield. Pickett is faster than Baker Mayfield, but he's in that same category still where he thinks that he is like an athlete and he's not quite there. So invite him to get into a game of sprinting to the sideline and trying to get upfield and getting your hands on him. And, hey, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers-Baltimore Ravens rivalry. If he's trying to go down, go smack him in his head. You know, if you're a Malik Harrison or something, someone who's a little more ancillary, go take a guy's head off. Go smack the shit out of Kenny Pickett and welcome him to this rivalry.
You said that, and that reminded me of the Baker Euro step against the Vikings, which is maybe one of my favorite things of all time.
I mean, Kenny Pickett's fake slide he hit last year at Pitt was one of the sickest things I've ever seen.
That worked for him. Like, he's like, he kind of like, I feel like, to your point, he's faster than Baker. He's maybe not as like twitched up, but like I feel like he is that guy, whereas Baker with the the Euro step, which I guess that game is kicking off probably right now. He's going to be starting for the Rams on 2 days of practice and not knowing that playbook. So your guy, Sean McVay, going to be just, you know, flexing his genius all over the country tonight by turning Baker into a franchise quarterback again. But yeah, I guess back to this game. That's enough we can really say on the defense versus their offense. And I'm not really sure what I'm going to be able to say on the Ravens offense versus the Steelers defense, who are very good in their own regard. We can obviously start with the fact that it seems like this Greg Roman relationship with the Ravens might not be coming to such a happy ending after all, as Stanford has eliminated him from the running for their head coaching position, opting to go with my guy, the Clapper, taking him off of Football Night in America. That guy is just fucking a bucket full of charisma, so I can totally see why they would want to bring him and the boys in and turn things around there at the Cardinal. But yeah, Greg Roman, he was going to stick around anyway, but he's going to be, you know, he's not going to be leaving willingly, here in the coming weeks or after the season. Like I said, he's going to stick around for the time being, and we're going to have to see what he's going to have up the sleeve here in this game with Tyler Huntley at quarterback. It really feels like things have just reached a fever pitch with him. It feels like the hysteria is just at a complete all-time high. I think for some reasons, understandably, that the Prochet play call, I mean, that was just, it feels like it is emblematic of all that has completely gone wrong in some respects this season. And what is there really to say? You got Ronnie Stanley on the injury report, limited today in practice. Patrick McCary, also limited with a toe in practice today. So, you know, hopefully those guys are going to come back. I believe, yeah, it looks like Kevin Zeitler did not practice with a knee. So it just feels like one step forward, one step back with his injury report. That is not going to be helping this offense against a Steelers defense where TJ Watt, who was on the injury report but probably is going to play, is going to be looking to wreak some havoc. And I don't know, where do you go first in this matchup?
Well, I think that what this Pittsburgh Steelers offense is with Kenny Pickett and Ben Roethlisberger and Matt Canada is what the Ravens offense is with Tyler Huntley. It is trying to spread the field a little bit. He doesn't have a lot of arm talent. I wrote an article this week. He is probably at best top two and at worst the worst deep ball passer in the NFL so far. The Pittsburgh Steelers have allowed the second most deep touchdowns over 20 yards, 6. They have been, I think, the fifth worst team in EPA in terms of when they're defending deep balls. And if you can't threaten them over top, they are going to crowd the field. What do the Steelers always do? How have the Steelers forced the Ravens into these scummy dirt ball games? They take Mark Andrews away. They bait you to throw to Mark Andrews, and they assault him, they hold him, they grab him. I would do the exact same thing. What did the Bengals do? What did Jesse Bates say? We're going to take Mark Andrews out of this football game. You're going to have to beat us another way. So that begs the question, who's going to step up? Who can, and a lot of it is going to be on Tyler Huntley, but can, for the love of God, they get the ball into Devin Duvernay's hands on maybe an RPO or maybe some sort of quick passing concept in stride and allow someone to take the pressure off. Someone has to take the pressure off of the Ravens offense by generating a big play in the pass game, whether it's over top, whether which is going to be on Tyler Huntley, or whether a DeMarcus Robinson or a Devin Duvernay or an Isaiah Likely can take one and bust one and at least flip a field. They need someone to do something after the catch. They need to be able to get the ball to someone in stride. The pass offense is discombobulated, is broken up. It feels like guys don't know if Tyler Huntley wants them to sit down, if he wants them to work with them. We see Devin Duvernay on a clip I posted kind of just run a little 12-yard diggish route, and he just slowly works his way across the field with Huntley, and Huntley just is looking everywhere but there as Devin Duvernay is perfectly working with him. And then at the end, it looked like he wanted him to sit down before running to the sideline. Duvernay just kept on his path, being like, I'm not going to do anything different. Just throw me the ball as I've been moving for 30 yards. Lo and behold, Huntley expects him to sit down. So a lot of that is being a backup quarterback, but at the same time, a lot of that has been going on. The Ravens face nothing but zone. The Steelers are going to play nothing but zone. They don't want Huntley to be able to get going with their legs. They mainly, from what I've seen over the last month, are utilizing a four-man rush. They'll come crowd the line, but they will drop off pretty much every single time. On early downs or against heavier personnel, they use a five-man front. They use an okie front, and they'll have kind of three guys there, but inside the tackles, or five tech and then someone over the zero tech, and then they'll have TJ Watt line up outside and have Alex Highsmith line up outside, and that's how they want to stop the run. Their defense they haven't been playing good offenses, and they're not playing a good offense Sunday. So DVOA wise, I think they've been in terms of defense over the last 4 weeks here, they are seventh. They have been eighth against the run, seventh against the pass. So they're doing a good job. Minkah Fitzpatrick starting to make plays. Again, this team has won 3 out of 4 games. They're not eliminated yet. Mike Tomlin wants to have a winning season. And I don't know what you're going to get if you can't have one explosive play that takes the pressure off of this offense and, God forbid, gets into the end zone some way, somehow. You know, using Mark Andrews to run some deep crossing concepts and bringing another receiver, a DeSean Jackson or a Devin Duvernay, where, you know, you're basically putting a safety to make a decision against trail technique, and whoever, you know, jumps Mark Andrews in all likelihood, throw to the other receiver, something like that, float a ball over top, hit a big play. If they don't hit a big play, they're not going to win this football game if their defense doesn't completely and utterly smother the Steelers. The Ravens are going to score 13 or 16 points in this game, and I'm taking Kenny Pickett over Tyler Huntley. I'm taking, you know, what the Steelers are working with over what the Ravens are working with. And if you can't generate a big play, I don't think they come out of Pittsburgh with a win.
Yeah, it's hard, man. And it feels like Huntley, we talked about the thrower thing. It feels like you're limited through the air, man. And it feels like he's probably at his best when he's playing off schedule a little bit, and he's kind of stepping back deep, and he's letting the tackles and the edge rushers just wash over him, and he can step up and maybe make some things happen after the play and playing off schedule and, you know, things of that nature. But that's hard to rely on. That was hard to rely on with Lamar Jackson. You're asking Tyler Huntley to come in here and right a ship that was already halfway underwater right now with an MVP caliber quarterback. I mean, there's just not enough talent on this offense in general. And if you're going to be dealt blows along this offensive line with Zeitler and Stanley not playing at full strength when he already wasn't playing at full strength, and whatever's going on at the running back position, and we all know the wide receiver problems, and Mark Andrews is still banged up, it's just hard, man. And talk about legacy.
I think more of it is getting a run game going. And
what I was going to say there is, sorry to cut you off, but what I was going to say, what have we been talking about with Greg Roman going back to the Hollywood Brown era? Manufactured touches. Find a way to do some of these Duvernay sweeps, to find a way to get this read option mixed in, find a way to bring guys.
Everybody knows that's coming at this point, though. Like, the Duvernay sweep is it's what people beg for. And by now it's like, all right, he's coming in motion. They're probably going to run a veer off of it. So it's almost like, don't even give him the football. We'll make it look like a veer and then run a read option the other way, or an RPO.
Well, they did do that. They picked up a key fourth down with that.
Teams are all over. The Broncos are all over it.
Yeah, they did that, and they picked up a key fourth down on that with the Huntley keeping it on the veer straight up the gut. It's just like, yeah, I get that. Like, that's, you know, what's coming if you're the other team. But like, okay, then iterate off of that. If they know what your tendency is, then break your tendency. And I don't know, maybe that'll scheme some guys open. And Huntley, who has some issues with accuracy, maybe that'll give him a little bit more wide open throwing windows to work with. It's just like, you know, there's not a whole lot you can do, But, and it, you're really, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. Because if you try all that shit and it doesn't work, then it's just going to be more of the same fuck Greg Roman, get rid of him kind of stuff. And, you know, it's just not going to be a good situation for anyone. So, yeah, it's hard. They're handicapped. And there's, like I said, not a whole lot to say about this offense versus that defense, just with how limited they feel in a lot of different ways. And
The Steelers have, for whatever reason, sucked at defending basic read option stuff. Like TJ Watt will come blow up a play here or there, but he guesses very much so. The Falcons took advantage of it. We've seen the Ravens take advantage of it. The Ravens were able to manufacture a run game a little bit. Latavius Murray in week 18 of last year has what, like a 60-yard touchdown run on an option concept or something of the sort. So it's just, it just is really frustrating yet again. You know, maybe we see J.K. Dobbins. It feels like probably not till next week, but if they just had a back that could hit a home run or someone that could take a little bit of the pressure off. And when they use different backs, it is a tell. What they do with Kenyon Drake, what they do with Justice Hill, when Gus Edwards is in the game, they're probably going to line up in pistol. They're going to go back and try and run the same shit they've been running since 2018 when Gus Edwards was elevated. He's not integrated into the pass game right now. I'm pretty sure 2/3 of his snaps have been run plays. So 67% of the time when he's on the field, they're running the football. Justice Hill, I feel like, is the one guy who has enough ability in the route running pass game. He can't pass block at all, has never been able to since Oklahoma State, but has enough as a receiver and can be an explosive runner, but he has terrible ball security, keeps fumbling, fumbled last week, lets Justin Simmons get across his face and the ball comes popping out. And then Kenyon Drake is like a fine player who has long speed. He doesn't make anyone miss, and he's not going to really create something out of nothing. He's not a big enough guy to turn 3 yards into 5 yards and prevent second and seven from, or prevent second and seven by getting second and five. So if there was a back that could step up, if they could have a game plan and maybe roll with one a little bit more so, I don't care which one it is at this point. Kenyon Drake makes a play late last week in the pass game. You know, maybe in the second half you let him take over on third down a little more, but man, it's just, they can't even get their running backs like sorted out. The injuries that have continued and all the discourse that we have, it's just like, again, Ronnie Stanley, is he going to play? Not sure. Pat McCary, not sure. Mark Andrews has been dinged up. Rashad Bateman's been out. Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins, just this whole carousel of guys coming in, guys going out, guys still playing while they're recovering and not recovered. So I don't know. I guess that kind of sums up my feelings on the offense, but it's just going to be a classic Pittsburgh Steelers-Baltimore Ravens slop fest. Again, it feels like these offenses will look somewhat similar. The Ravens will run a little bit more option game and go into heavy personnel a little more than the Steelers will. And they're going to try and spread things out. And if you look at the spray charts, they're not terribly different. Pickett, a little bit more accurate over top, it feels like. And, you know, somebody just make a fucking play, man. It's a Pittsburgh Steelers-Baltimore Ravens rivalry. They've won 4 straight. Somebody make the play. Somebody make a play. Anthony Levine interception a few years ago. Something of that sort. Go, in a key situation, go make a play. That is what this game is going to come down to. And Kenny Pickett and Tyler Huntley, I mean, Pickett's had a lot more reps with the first team for sure, but, you know, he wasn't the first team starter. He didn't start the season. It feels like these offenses, these schemes they're going to deploy are going to be very similar. So you're going to have to – are you going to be that guy, pal? Are you going to be the one to make the play? And whew, sure would be a great time to see maybe a Patrick Queen make a play, Adafe Owe make a play, a Marcus Williams, a Kyle Hamilton – you know, Tyler Linderbaum, you need to be quick as a cat in there. Somebody go step up and have a dominant game and make plays. And if they don't do that, they're not going to win. And I guess to get to score prediction time, I don't think the Ravens win this game. I really don't. I think that they're exactly in the place where they lose to the Steelers, and it's exactly where they were the last matchup that they had, where Lamar Jackson's out, their offense is limited a little bit, and guys are in and out and banged up, and Kevin Zeitler might not be playing, who's a true key cog. Kevin Zeitler's someone who has been making plays. He has led the way in key situations late and been able to be the impact blocker, so to speak. So I think that the Steelers are going to walk out victorious. I think we're going to see the Ravens continue their descent into pandemonium and the fan base unravel even further in a close game, like a, I don't know, 17-15 game, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, it's tough. I mean, this Ravens offense is still eighth in DVOA somehow. I think they're maybe eighth in the pass, or maybe they might even be higher. They might be like sixth overall and then eighth in the pass, like second in the rush. It's crazy, but they're just not playing like it. It doesn't pass my hashtag eye test, and you and I both were talking about this privately, and it just feels like it's going to be every loss the Ravens have suffered to the Steelers in the last like 2 years where they just haven't been able to beat them. And I don't know. It's like, I hate picking the Ravens to lose, and I usually don't because, you know, they have business being in every single game that they're in. But right now, all the comparisons and all the fears and all the anxieties that what happened last year is just going to happen again. I got no reason, I got no recourse to tell people to feel any differently because the vibes are really, really low right now, and it's just hard to summon something. And you know what? You want to be in the playoffs. You want to, you know, talk about how you're this great organization and, you know, you can lean on culture and all this kind of stuff, then go out and fucking show it to me. And I, until they do, can't pick them to win a game, at least in a spot like this, at least without their starting quarterback. So I'm going to go Steelers win this one. 19, Ravens score 17 points on the road here. It's going to be another heartbreaker, maybe a bad call or two goes the Steelers' way, which it seems to a lot of
always
the time.
Does. Always does.
Yeah.
And we'll ask Marcus Mosier, notable Cowboys personalities, ever since the Cowboys played them like 3 years ago. He does annual charts about the difference in penalties for the Steelers and how few are called on like neutral calls that usually are completely similar. They're America's secret sweethearts. And how cute would it be for the Steelers to sneak back into the playoff race as well? They could be, you know, sniffing around as we saw that graphic from, I think, NBC this past week, or in the hunt and all those kinds of things. So if the Ravens win, it's because they generate an explosive play on offense that leads to a touchdown or a special teams touchdown, Devin Duvernay. The Ravens' return game has been uncharacteristically out of sorts the last few weeks, and their defense manufactures a touchdown. There's a pick six, there's a fumble, a strip sack, something of the sort. So I think if the Ravens don't have one of or two of those things happen, then a Steelers team that's playing pretty good defense, and like I said, their offense plays well enough to keep them in games, they can get themselves up for this rivalry. They're playing with nothing to lose. Ravens are playing nervous, you know, weird time in their franchise game with Tyler Huntley yet again. So hopefully we're wrong here, but I don't know. I'm probably going to bet on the Steelers so that I don't get angry if the Ravens lose. I'm probably going to do my first emotional hedge, which I haven't done, I don't think, in my life, really.
And I'm going to go ahead and take that over because, you know, as we know, the conventional wisdom says it's going to be a slop fest, and then they're going to go out there and have a fucking 37-38 game where Kenny Pickett throws for like four touchdowns. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. And, yeah, I think neither of us are very optimistic. I don't think we're very optimistic about this team in general right now for a lot of different reasons. And that's unfortunate because that's not usually how it is. But I don't know, man. You can't intellectualize how you feel in a situation like this. And, you know, not feeling great vibes right now.
Yeah, and I mean, it really, Jimmy Clausen can go beat the Steelers. You know, anything can happen in this rivalry. Anything can happen in your division. You've lost four straight. You are going to face an unbelievable amount of scrutiny if you can't go get it done against the Steelers. But as tends to happen, the Ravens are catching the Steelers as they've won three of four and are feeling confident, feeling good about themselves. They get rid of Claypool, who, you know, all this stuff comes out about him being a distraction and yada, 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 and so forth. So defense needs to lead the way here. And, hey, they're playing too high safety stuff. Passing's down. Running is up. That's how you've manufactured your defense to excel. Your run defense has been outstanding. Go take Najee Harris out of this game and generate a couple explosive plays, man. So I don't know. I'm sure that it will be an omnipotent, gray, cloudy, possibly light raining day on Pittsburgh. I haven't looked at the weather report, but if I had to guess, there's like a 30% chance of precipitation. It's like 44 degrees, and there's going to be a nice gray overcast, as there always is when the Ravens head up to Pittsburgh for 1 o'clock games.
Yeah, the only way I'll ever be confident that the Ravens can win this thing is if maybe we get some Zerebeck tweet or something that last night at the Airport Hilton, the team was gathered in the ballroom, and Calais Campbell and Justin Houston delivered an impassioned speech. It's like, those guys got to, you know, and I'm not saying they're not, but step up, take some ownership, fire these fuckers up, and see what you can do. It's you know, as much as the Ravens are kind of playing with a lot to lose and they're playing with a lot of anxiety, you kind of got nothing to lose when you're in that spot as well. Like, it's just go out there and fucking let it rip. See if you can win a game. Like,
42 degrees and mostly cloudy in Pittsburgh.
Every time. And listen, the weather here.
Oh, wow. I was spot on. 50% chance of precipitation, actually, on Sunday. I was looking at today.
The weather has
45 degrees, 50% chance of precipitation, 16-13, 15-13. Some weird score, weird game. So it's part of the rivalry. Enjoy it in that sense. And hopefully the Ravens are able to go make the play to win the game against the rival.
You play to win the game. I've often said that. So, yeah, not a whole lot, like I said, really to, like, actually offer in this one. I think we did a damn good job, though, honestly. Like, with where things are right now, that's a good preview. So we hope you guys enjoyed it. We'll get out of there on that. You can follow the show on social media at Podcast Beatdown on Twitter, at Jake Luke. That's Louque is where you can find me. You can find Spenny at Ravens 4 Dummies. That is the number 4 in the middle there. Check us out on Instagram as well at Baltimore. _ Beatdown. There you have it. We're both predicting a Ravens loss. That might be the first time that's happened in a while. But hey, it's show me season. Go out there, fucking show me. Until next time, we will see you guys.
See ya.
Arrivederci.
Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age?
Super Bowl out of me. Need that. Need that.